Welcome to another episode of The Suspendables with funny man Jungle Jim Jerome and retired NHL star Russ Cortinel.
Here's Cortinel. He scores! Cortinel's
feeding it! Each week they unleash their raw, stripped-down, unfiltered opinions on all things hockey and maybe other stuff too. Who knows? Inside stories, absolutely. Outrage, guaranteed. Offside, for sure. And always plenty of laughs. Strap in. The Suspendables is coming at you right now.
Anyways, let's start the show.
That's a wrap, Steve. I hope you're recording all that. That's good. Okay, let's go.
Thanks for joining us here on the space.
I could just see Steve editing that. Yeah. So here's today's show. Yeah. Us laughing. Okay, yeah. That's it. That's a wrap.
There we go. That could be our intro, Rusty, as we get rolling. Folks, how are you again? Another episode of The Suspendables coming up. And we were just chatting for about 8 minutes before talking about topics for the show. And so I tell Steve he'd always record because, you know, we say some shit that we like. And we decided, I said, well, that was all good, Stevie, the last 8-9 minutes there. Yeah. And we decided to not use any of it.
It would be our last show.
How are you, Rusty? How's the week?
Good. It's good. Everything's good.
Yeah, good to have you on board.
Lots going on with us and everything, you know. Had a heat wave down here. I know you're jealous. I sent you. It was freaking 91 degrees Saturday watching my daughter's soccer game at 1 o'clock. Everybody knows what heat's like at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. From 1 till 3, bet you I dropped 10 pounds.
Jesus. Oh, let me show you, Russ, if you can see this here. I don't know. Can you see the snow falling through the window there?
No, I just see a bunch of dusty blinds on your window. Yeah.
So, you're too much, you know.
And you know, when you never have people over, why fucking clean?
Why do it? You know, you don't need to do it.
God, could you imagine you got a knock at the door and it was some hot chick that was coming to see it? You would be in full panic mode.
I don't need to imagine, Russ. It happens all the time. Okay, there's my neighbors are coming at me left and right.
Yeah.
Listen, Grumpy. Okay. All right.
I'm not grumpy.
You're grumpy. Okay. You're grumpy. No, okay. No, I don't send you anything. When we started doing this, you said, let's just roll, Jimmy. Yeah. I don't need any heads up. And it's true. You don't. You're fantastic. You're phenomenal. I thought, well, every once in a while, maybe I should send just something to give them a heads up. I haven't done that in months. Okay. I thought this would be nice. Okay. Cause on the show today, I got lots, Rusty. I got lots, right?
Okay.
It's like, here's what we're going to do. Do you like the winters? Did you like them? Can you dance? Do you like music? What do you think of video review? Should the league cancel? There's a big COVID case in Ottawa. Someone wants to know about Brian Fogarty. A great story, you know, that he was, and then a tragic end. But would you like to do color commentary? Some guy can't collect fees on his U13 team. They want to know what you would do. Oh, I said, well, he's not the godfather, okay? But also, something about Notre Dame we got. Coyotes only have one win. What would Cortinel do to fix that? Expansion to Europe. Salaries keep going up. Are they going to keep doing that? Baseball goes forever. Should that? And then I thought, someone said, if Rusty was to read someone's book, who wrote a book, I thought, this is a hell of a question here, right? I said, if Rusty was to
this
read...
This is the text you sent me,
Not all that shit. Just so... I said, I'm going to just send Russ one thing. It would be courteous of me to give him a little heads up saying, I want to ask Russ if you were going to read. Everyone's writing a freaking book, right? Everyone's writing a book, sports books. Mess just came out with one, supposed to be pretty good. I haven't read it. On and on and on. There's lots. And I thought someone asked, whose book would Russ want to read? I said, I better give him a heads up on that one. Okay. So I thought I never ask. I'll give him, be polite. Hey, Rusty, whose book would you want to read? Fuck off, Jim. Oh.
And then I said, no, thanks.
Yeah, no, thanks. Nobody's book. Anyway, so much.
I actually giggle when I freaking text this.
I know you do, man. You're hilarious. I love you to death. So much to talk about. I guess a couple of things, Rusty. First of all, winter, right? Winter's hit. It's snowing here. I tried to show you on video there.
Yeah.
Did you ever like the winter? The reason I ask, I like zero about the winter. Okay. I'm not one of these guys. Oh, man, I can't wait for the snow to fall. The only people who should like the winter is if you own a snowplow truck. Okay. That's who. I hate the winter.
I prayed for snow when I was a kid. Are you kidding me? Living in Victoria, we barely ever got it. And when I was quite young, it snowed a little more and we'd get the, we get cold enough weather where ponds would freeze and we'd be able to go out and skate, or a friend would make an ice rink in his front yard. And so we prayed for cold and snow.
Yes.
And then when I was 14, I went away to Notre Dame in Saskatchewan, just outside Wilcox. And oh my God, was it cold?
Yeah, good. if you're listening from the States, I know we got people listening all over the world. We got a guy down in, I think he's in Turks and Caicos. We've got people over in the Middle East. Hello to my friend
Australia.
Terry Burwell over there. Did you see the thing where he sent, he's a educator, and he sent, had them all saying, we love the suspendables from Dubai. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah.
So he's over in the heat. It gets 35 below, folks. And don't ask me, it doesn't matter if it's Celsius or Fahrenheit. Okay. That's really cold. You don't need to convert it to anything. You brought up Notre Dame, Rusty. Before we talk about the Hall of Fame inductions, by the way, are happening tonight. We want to ask you about those guys. You brought up Notre Dame, and don't get mad at me, people. I'm using your questions, but I forget your names. Okay, I do. So a guy was in your dorm, apparently, Russ, at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
I forget of all names.
There was two dorms and three there was three club, I guess, what do we call them, clubs? Or there's three different clubs, like you were either a gunner, a badger, or a woodchopper. So those were the teams in your
those
dorms.
Names. I know, badger or a woodchopper. Hang on, though, Russ. This guy wants to know two things. Do you still eat Icky Crafty? What no. is that? What was Icky Crafty?
I don't know what he meant about. He might be talking about Itchy Ban and Kraft Dinner mixed up.
Itchy. Okay. Must be Itchy Crafty.
Yeah. Itchy. Okay. Itchy Ban ramen noodles and Kraft Dinner mixed together. No. I ate both, but never mixed.
Okay.
So that's.
So what you have to do, Russ, because you're always sending me videos, speaking of obnoxious, okay, of you in your backyard, which is beautiful. It looks like a palace. It's gorgeous. You deserve it. But then you'll go a little step further. Okay. Like that's not enough going, hey, Jimmy, what's going on? How's your day? Well, I'm sitting out in my 8x8 foot square patio. Okay. Freezing with weeds and salt. Okay. On the driveway now, cause it's getting cold. And then you go, yeah, just about to, I don't know. I was doing the math the other day. I went, I think that's $900 worth of steak that he's putting on his grill. Okay. He's got the people over. So you, Rusty, you have to, for this guy, I want to see you make Itchy Crafty.
No.
Come
I'm
on.
Not making Itchy Crafty. Actually, why doesn't he make it and then send it to
send us a video. Okay. A big Itchy Crafty. Yeah.
While we're talking about Notre Dame, Audie Clath, he was a student after Notre Dame Hound after I went there, and he was a big fan of the Hound line, Wendell Clark, Gary Lehman, myself, and then Rod Brindamore. And he went and he DM'd me on Instagram, and I accepted and started talking to him, and he's a huge fan of the show, but he told a funny story. Some players go on, they leave Notre Dame, they go play junior, play college, and then some come back. They sometimes come back as teachers, and coaches. So he came back, Barry McKenzie, who is my, he was my coach, and I just love Barry. He's 80 years old now, and he's living in Sudbury, Ontario.
Yes, my hometown, Rusty.
Yeah. And so he called me the other day. So I was telling Audie, I just talked to Barry McKenzie, and we all love Bear. Well, Bear asked Audie to come back and coach. Yeah. So he did. So he's telling the story. He goes, myself and a few buddies were at the motel in Wilcox having a few cocktails. And the next morning, Bear calls him and says, hey, Audie, can you get over to my front yard and remove your car from my my lawn before the kids wake up, meaning all the students.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
So he had, you know, it's about a half mile from the motel down the main road, and he made the wrong turn and ended up parking it in front of the president of the school's freaking house.
So funny. That reminds me. So I was at a bar, as you say, shocker, when the Oilers were winning cups. We were at a function one night in the off season.
The only time you weren't at a bar was when you were asleep. And sometimes you were asleep at the bar.
That's true. Actually, I was, but I didn't want to go home. So all the players are there, Mess and Kevin Lowe and a bunch of other guys, Koff and all these guys sitting around there. Mess used to own a clothing company, actually. And so we're all there and we're having fun. And then Mess sort of looks up, right? And he's looking at me and he punches me in the side and he goes, where's Kevin? Where's Vish? Is his nickname Vicious? And I went, Kevin sort of was a bit of a half miler. Okay. Rusty, you're not. You're staying right till the bitter end. But he'd slip away, right? Sometimes from these bashes.
Do you want me to finish the story?
Do you know it?
You and Mess got in his car and drove up on his front lawn and honked.
Because you brought up the car in the front lawn.
You honked the horn until he came out.
Is that right? Okay, yeah, Russ, you know what?
Because you fucking told the story three times.
You know what? I'm glad you said that because I've got a note here, Russ, that I wasn't going to read from a good listener, okay? Absolutely. Am I ever glad you brought that up? Okay, Russ? Because this guy texted me during the Minnesota Vikings game yesterday, Russ.
Yeah.
And Minnesota wins, okay? Yeah. And a guy says, Russ must be, and your Eric Kendricks got an interception. And he goes, Russ must be out of his mind right now. He goes, I can't wait to hear the suspendables this week and hear for the 200th time that Eric Kendricks is his future son-in-law. Okay? So you are one up on me because you got 200 times on that. Anyway, well, I got to stop.
Early on when we started this show, I am a freaking rookie.
Yeah.
And I can't remember all the stories I tell. And sometimes I'm halfway through a story and I go, oh shit, I've already told that story, but yeah. I keep going.
Yeah.
And sure. Anyway, and but what you told me, the veteran radio host.
Sure. Of course I am.
Yeah. I'm actually giving you a compliment.
All right.
You told me, don't think that the listeners know who you're talking about. So always don't say, oh, I've already said this or right. I've already. So I was following your lead and, you know, don't assume everybody knows who Eric is. So,
sure,
hey,
of course. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For that fucking listener out there, piss off. Then you can blame Jimmy for that.
But that's
so
why
I will never, I'll just say Eric from now on.
There
Eric.
You go. We got it now. Yeah, we got it. We
sack and a pick, by the way.
That's why we love the listener like that though.
Cause yeah,
we'll kill anyone, man. You know, really, yeah. You're the sultan of Barb, you know. It's great. Speaking of, before you get away from Notre Dame, dude wants to know, Rusty, did you ever do, what are hall slides? He wants to know what hall slides in the dorm were.
So we had concrete floors in all the dorms.
Prison?
Yeah, pretty much. And every night at 10 o'clock, guys would be on mops. And you had to mop the floor.
Right.
So the odd time guys would put towels in their doorway and they would dump the water and soap in the hallway and guys would run butt naked up and run from the TV room and they'd open the big door, two swinging doors. They'd keep them open and the guys would slide down the halls in the water and soap. And there was some horrific accidents. Oh my God. No. I never freaking did it. Well, one, I hadn't hit puberty. I was late hitting puberty. So there's no way I was gearing down in front of a bunch of people, but guys would go freaking running down and they would be on their backs and their ass. Right. And they got their arms and legs and they're going freaking fast down these hallways. And the odd time a guy would catch his heel on a door because all the doors were open because guys are cheering him on and watching. Right. And they'd hit their hand or their shin they would start spinning out of control and then hitting the walls. Oh my God. I mean, beautiful. We suck. Guys are ended up in the hospital, broken this, broken that. Oh, it was brutal. And I don't know how many, I doubt any of the hockey players did it because it was usually in the wintertime when there was nothing to do that they were doing it. But
did you ever have to make up a story why a guy got injured though, Russ? I'll tell you why I bring that up. We went skidooing. Craig McTavish, by the way, he's on air again. He's pretty good. He's doing color commentary between periods. And we were unloading skidoos. Glenn Sather had two brand new skidoos. We took them out in pickups. We threw them in the back. We were all getting beautifully annihilated. And then we thought we should unload one of these skidoos or load it back up on the pickup. It was on a loose piece of plywood. Marty got in there. It was heavy. And we had about a foot to go to get it in to get it fully into the bed of the truck. And Marty goes, well, let's not push it. Let's just fire it up, and give it a little gun. And Marty gets on there, rips the throttle wide open. The plywood comes flying out at a billion miles an hour and catches Mac T across the thighs.
Oh, no.
Couldn't play. So all the way home, what excuse we came up with for him, because he had to miss a game or two.
Well, at Notre Dame, we're all 14, 18 years old then, and a lot of guys were looking for reasons to get injured because there was a beautiful resident nurse at Wilcox, and there was a lineup every Monday to go in. Yeah, we all thought she was just the most beautiful thing on the planet. So,
right.
If you got sick or hurt, you guys were wheeling over there pretty quickly.
That's funny.
Just a reminder, if you'd like to connect online with Russ or Jimmy or engage with them on social media, find out how at thesuspendables.com.
Hall of Fame tonight, Rusty, as we record, it's Monday afternoon. Hall of Fame inductions are a year late, right, because of COVID. Marian Hossa is getting in. Jerome Aginla, great name. Aginla. Yeah. Get it? You get it? Yeah. Again, Jerome Aginla?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He was great to my son when he met him. Lawton. We met him.
If I've heard that once about people, I've heard it 100 times about this guy.
Well, Lawton, Jerome's mixed, Lawton's mixed, and so there's a lot of similarities there, and we were at a fundraiser in Calgary for Team Canada, and Jerome was there. And I took Lawton. I don't know why. It was around 2007, summer of 2007. And I saw Jerome, and I went, "Hey, Jerome, Russ Cortland, my son Lawton," and Lawton wears his number.
Oh, no
kidding. And Lawton lit up like a Christmas tree. It was unbelievable. And I didn't know he wore Jerome's number. He never told me that. And Jerome started talking to him, and he's like pumping my tires to Lawton, who never got to see me play.
Oh, and isn't that nice?
He couldn't have been nicer and made my son feel like a freaking hero. And when he gets to pick now for number, his first choice is 12, and then his second choice is 10. I don't know why 10, but 12 is because of Jerome. Anyways, right. I can't say enough good things about Jerome Aginla, and what a great player.
Well, not only that, but he's from here. He's from Edmonton North, St. Albert. And if you meet him, if you ever get to meet him, either at an event or if he's on stage doing a hot stove or, all these things, even when you see him in the interviews and listen to him, and someone who knows about him, say, who played hockey with him, And you come away going, oh my God, that guy's like the nicest guy in the world. He never chops anybody, never says a bad thing, loves the game, loves life. Great story what you tell, Russ. You hear that all the time. Yeah. And then a guy will go, now not only that, but here's something that makes him exceptional. He can kick the shit out of any player.
Yeah.
He was like uber tough.
Yeah, tough.
It's hard to believe that he liked to fight because he was such a nice guy. But
well, a lot of tough guys are like that. Wendell Clark is identical, not as outgoing. Wendell's quieter. Right. As he probably has gotten older, he's more outgoing, but, pretty reserved guy. And he and Jerome are very, very similar in a lot of ways. And tough
true enough, yeah.
Yeah.
And Wendell's on our show. Check it out. Go to our website, suspendables.com, and all the shows are out. Look at me, Russ, finally.
Yeah.
And, of course, you can email us at thesuspendables@gmail.com. Is that right, Stevie?
No, no, it's not.
Jesus.
The Suspendables, Christ, man, remember, you're at Yahoo. The Suspendables at yahoo.com.
Jesus Christ. Just kidding. Yeah, sure I am. Jerome McGinley gets in. Kevin Lowe.
Is that an apartment you're in or a research center?
I'm having trouble, Russ. Okay, Jeez I have trouble. Christ. Okay. Kevin Lowe, we met. Good story there. We've told 100 times, apparently, about parking on his front lawn. Doug Wilson, Kim St. Pierre, and Ken Holland. Doug Wilson, was he retired by the time you started, Russ?
No, or? I played quite a few years against Doug. I played a lot against him in Toronto when he and Denny Savard, Ben Wilson, Kurt Fraser, they had a freaking awesome team. It was at that time when Edmonton was just rolling over everybody and Chicago was like second or third every year in points, and they had a great team. They had Murray Bannerman and Tony Esposito as their goalies, and they just, you know, they were never going to get past Edmonton. And the lowly Leafs, we swept them in best of five round. We beat them three straight back in when the first series was only best of five. And I think they changed the rules the next year after we had won in five, because they were the second best team in the league and we were the worst points. Right. And we beat them.
And they went from 5-7 for cash.
Yeah, of course.
Get to more playoff games. By the way, Doug Wilson, Murray Wilson is his brother, who, I don't know, Stevie? He's won some. Murray's old enough that he would have been part of that Montreal Canadian wave winning cups, I would think.
Yeah, three or four cups in Montreal before he went to LA.
Yeah, wow. His brother, Doug Wilson's brother, great guy, by the way. Doug's from Ottawa, and I've known him a long time, and wonderful guy. Would be a sought after upper management guy. I mean, he's been in San Jose now for a long time. And I think we're getting so old. I think his son is like an assistant general manager or something.
Who are you talking about?
Doug Wilson.
He's been the GM of San Jose for years.
Right. That's what I'm saying. He has, you know, he's.
Well, what do you mean sought after?
Because anyone would like to have him as a general manager. You see, do I need this right now from him?
Guy's been a GM since.
He would be a sought after GM. I know he's been a long time. All right. Marian Hossa, what's your memory of him getting in?
Oh my God. What a player.
Speaking of Chicago, right?
He was so freaking strong. And he was like Fedorov, and he was like a combination.
Stop right there if you're like him.
No, he was a combination of Fedorov and the centerman in Colorado, Sakic, and then Forsberg. That's what it was, like Forsberg and Fedorov. I mean, the guy's a freaking stud. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent, excellent player. Man, he had some health issues, right? He had some, he had to retire because he had some skin irritation that is really bad with hockey equipment. And that's why he retired. No way. He was still going strong. Yeah. And then they had to,
I never knew that.
Yeah. He had. Do you know anything about that, Stevie?
Yeah, I can tell you it's definitely, you're right. You're bang on across the board. I'm just looking up what the actual name of it was. It was definitely a progressive skin disorder.
Something itch. Like,
that would make sense.
I've heard them call it the gunk back in the 70s.
Yeah, gunk. That's right. Yeah, like gunk or something. But
how's that for a bad break?
It's like psoriasis on fucking steroids, apparently. Like, it's just
like shingles almost.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's so painful that he had to. But he was still getting like 30 goals and winning cups and doing great. And then
he played hurt. Good for him. Tough guy.
Anyways.
That alone gets him into the Hall of Fame. Yeah. Getting that. Kevin Lowe. Six cups with the extra in New York. Your memories of playing.
Kevin was a steady.
You would have never played with Kevin, but against him.
Just a steady, steady defenseman. He was like, what was the, oh shit. Here, we'll start. Ask me again.
Yeah. They called him fiercely competitive. You know, you hear guys are competitive, but if you hear anything about Kevin Lowe all the time, is he was, you know, ferociously competitive. They called him Vish, is his nickname, short for Vicious. Although, speaking of guys you wouldn't know that are super nice away from the game. Your experience with him, Rusty?
Oh, he was a good, steady, tough defenseman. Good looking guy. Always had the hair perfect and yes. like a Ken doll out there. You know, they always skate around, no practice, no helmet, or practice, no helmets. Pre-game skate, no helmets.
Well, that was you. You had locks like that.
But they wouldn't. Some teams made us wear helmets in warm up, like Montreal. Did we have to? Anyways, a couple teams made us wear helmets in warm up. So that sucked. But anyways, he was just an awesome leader, really good defenseman, and you know, a winner, obviously. And like you said, super competitive.
Congratulations to all those guys, but we better not do this without Kim St. Pierre's getting in, national team, women's national team, Olympian for sure.
You pretty much, when the girls get in, they're coming from the Olympic team, right?
Yes.
I mean, or they're a coach or they're a builder or something like that.
And Ken Holland, he's the GM here in Edmonton. I'll tell you, I didn't know this.
Would he be under the builder category? How does that work? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he is. Because
there's different categories. Like,
I think, Stevie, is that right? Why would we let facts get in the way of this?
Yeah, it is absolutely builders. Coaches and GMs and such, they always go in builders.
Someone wrote a piece on the guy. I heard it yesterday, which makes this phenomenal, that Ken Holland was a door-to-door vacuum cleaner salesman. And that's significant because it was shortly after that, he was the GM in Detroit, I think, or assistant GM.
No, he would
Scotty
have been
Bowman or something. No,
assistant to the guy who drafted Stevie Y, who was that little guy. Oh, geez.
Jimmy Devolano.
He was from that era. He worked under Jimmy.
Yeah. Anyway, look it up. Look the
Scotty was of, Scotty was never the GM, wasn't he? Just the coach.
Yeah, never the general manager. GM.
Yeah, just the coach. God, I'm on a roll today.
You're pretty good. Anyway, congratulations to all that's on. It happens this week. Happens tonight as we record. To all those people, there's a couple other media awards that are in there, but the reason I didn't bring them up is because they don't give a shit. Anyway, that's terrible. You can't say that. Okay, Rusty, COVID, gosh, you know, it's hang in there, everybody, hang in there. You know, someone's going to snap pretty soon. This thing is I don't want to say dragging on, deadly serious. So Ottawa starts to get it again, sweeps through, Rusty.
Unbelievable. 10 right, guys.
Whips through the team to get 10 guys. As of yesterday, okay, so yesterday they got to play a game against Calgary. They end up playing a game against Calgary, and I'm watching it, and they just get shelled.
Yeah.
You know, I think they lose 4 or 5-0. And I'm thinking, this is unfair. This is unfair. They shouldn't have to play. But you have a different opinion, and then I'll tell you where they're at now. We just got an update now.
No, I don't have a different opinion. I don't. Because now I know the information. Before I had a different opinion, but now I do. I have it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they called up minor league guys to play that game last night against Calgary, and they got whomped. The league stepped in.
Three games. They had 10 guys out, and apparently they called up players to fill the lineup for 3 games. And after those 3 games, the NHL shut them down. That's right. What we so just heard.
Stevie, is it the next 3 games? They're shunning them. They give them 3 games off now till they try and get this thing straightened out.
Yeah, they get the Devils on Tuesday, and then they have a game Thursday, Saturday. I don't have the opponents in front of me.
So they're off for
for the next week, they're off. So three games, and then they're going to postpone those and reschedule them later.
Are you okay with that, Rusty, that they're postponing or half
yeah,
a yes,
I think
half
I,
no?
No, listen, I had a totally different opinion before. We were talking about it off air. And then once we got educated by our brain trust, Stevie, and they tried their best and they called up players. They were missing 10 regulars and they played 3 games and then the league stepped in. And I think that's the right thing to do. You got to do your best to try and play the games. My son's team just went through it in in Charleston, and he was one of the players, and he missed four games, I think, but they made it through it, and they're all better now and getting back on the ice, and hopefully nobody else gets it, but they had six players, you know, get sick. So I think Ottawa did their best, and I think the league is probably correct in what they did. I if it was four players or five players or whatever, I would totally disagree, and they should play and call up players. But right. When half your team's down, I think it's in the best interest of the game.
Right. Someone inquired, Rusty, and you've spoken about this before. You'll often hear what does it take to win a Stanley Cup, you know? And I was just making some notes, you know, and that someone will say, you need absolutely great goaltending. At the same time, they'll go, but great goaltending is not going to win you the cup all the time. Well, you got to get lucky. Yeah, but if you just get lucky, you're not going to win. You got to have a great power play. Yeah, but just a good power play won't make you win. You got to have a good kill. Yeah, but just a good kill, you know. We need secondary scoring. Absolutely. Otherwise, but you need more. So someone's saying, can Rusty kind of give us an idea of winning a Stanley Cup? And they don't mean that sarcastically because you haven't, but is there anything, Rusty, that you can sort of put your finger on for the average fan to understand how to go deep into the playoffs?
When I went to the finals with Montreal, we had a great team. We had veterans, young, really good young players, and we had Patrick Waugh on net. And Pat Burns was our rookie coach. And I would say the downside of that run was that Pat Burns was a rookie coach and made rookie mistakes. And so I think there you need a lot of things to get yourself there. And when I played for the Rangers and we had Messier and Gretz, we ran into injuries and we had nobody to replace them with. Like they had such a weak minor league system. We had nobody, there was just nobody to fill those spots. And we ran out of key players and some guys played injured. And one of our Karpatsev's mother passed away and he flew back to Russia and he missed two games against Philly. I mean, so, you know, you've got to stay healthy. You need a really good combination of veterans and young legs and, you know, a wise management and coach. And it's no fluke, man, that teams win the Stanley Cup. I mean, they march on. I mean, look at some of these teams that have won, and just there's a player that always stands out every playoffs that kind of comes out of nowhere, like or was good and then plays great, just top of his game.
Right.
And so I don't know. I'm probably not answering the question, but you need a lot of things to go right, and you need. You need all those combinations to win it all, for sure.
Well, maybe this will help the good listener. Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl are ripping it up again.
Yeah.
Are ripping it up again. The Oilers have, I think they've only lost three games. They're 13-3. And they're going bananas, right? They're going bananas.
Yeah.
They did that last year.
Yeah.
Draisaitl's scored a goal in every game. Or excuse me. He's got 14 or 15 goals and they've played 14 or 15 games.
Jeez.
And so it's funny, Russ, around here though, right? So everyone's they're not quite setting up the parade route like they did when Connor first came in. So there's kind of this apprehension still, Russ, I'm feeling about the Oilers. Like there's the very odd guy that goes, watch out, we're going to win the Stanley this year. Most of it is, hope they can keep this up. I think I'm not quite sold on the team. I need a little more.
How long has it been? 30 years?
Well, they went to the final.
Since they won the cup. 30 years.
Well, 89 or something.
91, wasn't it?
Fuck, I don't know. I was there, but I can't remember the year. 91.
It was after Gretz left. It was
1990.
90, so 31.
Gretz got traded in 88, 89.
So 31,
right.
32 years ago. So you just think of the fan base, the guys who were, you know, they're in their 50s, 60s, 70s who were you know, 80s through that 80s, 90s Stanley Cup, you know, you guys freaking, if you didn't win, you had a good chance to win pretty much every year. And so there's that fan base. And then everybody after that has lived through all the first round picks that, and a lot of flops.
Right.
And then now having the greatest player or the two greatest players, two of the greatest players in the world on the team. And these young guys, young fans that I talk about, you know, they have lived through all these high hopes and promises and failures versus the guy who's 50 and older who goes, you know, well, I can remember where we were, what we did, who we had and all that. So you've got two fan bases, one that's watched it before and one that's hasn't seen it yet. So it's an interesting combination in Edmonton of, all these young fans that have been promised and hope they've been hoping and hoping with all these picks they've had and then nothing. So I can understand why they're at Starbucks going, I don't know. I don't know. Right. I don't want to jinx it. I don't want to jinx it. Let's not talk about it.
Right. Well, John Tortorella, who's back in front of the camera doing analysis. He believes Connor McDavid has to change his game, Russ, to win a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, and he complained about it a little bit. He wasn't getting the calls. I you know, quite honestly, and I hope I say it correctly, just shut up.
Yeah.
Don't talk about it. I do think he has to change his game a bit. Not turn into a Checo, obviously.
But right.
He's talked about culture. He's talked about standard. He's talked about winning. You're not going to outscore. You're not just going to fill the net during playoffs and outscore teams. Mm-hmm. You have to play on the other side of the puck. You have to have that business type attitude of nothing's going to bother me, no matter how you're going to check me. Don't talk about it. Just play hard, play through it. But the other side of the puck is that important too. Come playoff time.
It's probably one of the best things Torts has ever said, and he's right. Because Stevie Yzerman, same age as me, same draft, and what a player. And I didn't think that Stevie was capable of changing his game. And Scotty Bowman came in, and he went from a 60-goal scorer to a 30-goal scorer, still the captain, and still a great player, but he started blocking shots. Like, blocking shots back then was so freaking brutal because of the equipment. You felt it every freaking time it hit you.
No shields, man.
And yeah, but you protected your head. You never blocked a shot, and they don't do it today with their head. But your ankles, the shin guards, everything, the shin pads, I should say. When you got a slap shot in that equipment of that era, it freaking hurt. And that's why a lot of guys like myself didn't block shots. But Stevie Y started blocking shots on the PK, and he became a different player, a better two-way player, and they started winning cups. And so Torts is absolutely right. You can't play the way you play during the season in the playoffs. You have to. Everybody's got to change. I mean, that's why back in my era, the tough guys never dressed in the playoffs because there was no need to have tough guys in the lineup, the guys who fought. You had tough guys, right. But you didn't have fighters. When we had the designated fighters, they didn't dress because they were of no value in the playoffs. So you brought in different players. The game totally changes in the playoffs, and they're going to have to be able to play a different style when needed against different teams. Thanks, ESPN.
Here's what I don't like, Rusty, about, and I'm in Edmonton, massive Oilers fan, is more people are tuning into games right now to see Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid rack up points and sort of forgetting that they haven't won this Stanley Cup yet. And that's what kind of makes me a little bit, you know, I don't give a shit. I really don't. I really don't care if Connor gets 150 points or whatever or gets a goal a game, whatever. Interesting stuff. Interesting from Tortorella and certainly what you say, Russ. Conversely then, Russ, as we wind down here, Phoenix Coyotes have won one hockey game.
Are they missing Rick Tocchet yet?
Yeah, maybe. But they want to know what you would do if you're the GM of that team or coach. What do you do, Russ? What do you do with this thing? It's just getting worse and worse and
well,
worse.
Well, it looks like they're in a rebuild. So, I mean, they got rid of some contracts and I haven't really looked at their team closely enough to make a educated comment on it. But
right.
if they've only won one game and they got rid of some big contracts, I would guess they're going through a rebuild. So if they're going through a rebuild, get ready. They're not going to win a lot of games. If
they made the playoffs during COVID with Rick Tocchet, right? They got
But then they got rid of made that trade to Vancouver, got rid of two big contracts.
Is Domi still with that team?
No, isn't he in Columbus? I don't know.
Correct. He's in Columbus.
Yeah, I don't know enough about Phoenix to really make a. Maybe next week I'll know.
Yeah, or any team. You know, what are you doing if you're out of the chute here and you're getting only one or two victories?
Well, look at Vancouver. Look at Vancouver right now. They're struggling, and it's not pretty. And the fans up in the Great White North are not going to be happy. I talked to my brother Jeff about it, and he said people are just like losing it in Vancouver. Yeah. So.
Or Buffalo. They won five in a row, and now they've lost five or six in a row. I don't know where they are. Before we go a little off the page thing, Russ, I said, yeah, I'll ask Russ this. There's a guy who's a president of a U13 boys hockey league here. Okay. And he's having trouble, Rusty, collecting the fees from the parents if they haven't paid. He says, what would Rusty do? No, it's not just one or two. It's four or five people that haven't paid their fees.
So when the fees in L.A. when I was coaching Lawton were $13,000 for the whole year. They made the parents pay up front for that reason. They wouldn't let them do monthly.
13
grand, and that was flights, hotels, ice time, and they pay the coach down here. I didn't get paid, but the other coach did. That's what they – a lot of coaches down here, soccer, hockey, baseball, they do it as a second job or full time. So anyways, back to I'd never seen this before, but they said, no, put it on your credit card. Like they did not give a shit. Like they cared, but they didn't care. And like I said to the coach, this is harsh. I was the assistant and I said, this is freaking harsh. And he goes, yeah, if we don't get it, they'll quit halfway through or, you know, we may lose them to another team, something like that, right. Even though they hold their registration card. So my advice to the coach is, this is a harsh one, is just say they can't practice or play with the team until they make good on their payments. Right. And if they claim hardship, sit down with the coach and the organization and say, we have financial hardships. How can we make this right? So they need to go, don't embarrass the parents because they could be struggling financially,
right?
But they're going to have to tell the kid, look, and you know, call the parents and say, your kid cannot continue to come to practice or play because he hasn't paid. If you have a financial hardship, we've set up a meeting with our association director. You can go talk to them, and until we hear otherwise, you're not able to come back. And it's unfair to the kids who've paid. And if it's a financial situation, then they just need to be honest about it and work around it somehow, some way.
Where'd you get so smart with good advice like that?
Well, I've had three kids in sports, and we've dealt with it. We have financial aid scholarships for soccer down here, which are right. fantastic. And you just have to apply for them. And then, hockey, they'll have players and parents will go, look, okay, Johnny's parents can only pay $8,000. We have a kid on the team. Can we raise another $5,000 so that he can play? And then all the parents chip in for that kid. Nice. So, you know, sports is about the kids, but there's a cost to it. And if you can't afford it, be honest and go to the team and say, this is the most important thing in my kid's life. And I want him or her to do it, she or he. And how can I get on a payment plan? Can I do this? And And then if the, that's yeah. how I do it.
Yeah, I'll tell you what I would do. Right? we're not having a, we're not putting ourselves in a league. There's so much hockey now, Russ. This is, you know, do you play hockey in California? 20 years ago, you had to travel. Yeah. You know, if you had a team, you had to go up north. You had to come to Canada to play in those events. But you don't anymore. You don't. There's enough teams around your area. Scrap the 13 large. Make it $4,000 or $5,000. And
well, that's the problem here. There wasn't. You had to go. Our league, we had to go to Detroit and Dallas to play league games.
Right.
But in Canada, hockey's so good that, yes, there's enough teams.
Yeah.
But down here, there isn't. And here, the same thing goes for girls soccer and boys soccer down here. We do not have to travel. This parent goes, let's go to Seattle. You know, we got such a great team. Let's go to Seattle and play this team up there. And I'm like, why would we leave a state where we haven't beaten everybody yet?
Yeah,
exactly. We can drive and play the best soccer in maybe the world for girls soccer right here. Why would we pay to go to freaking Seattle to play? Oh, what? We're going to win 4-1 or some stupid thing?
It's just crazy. In those parent meetings, you must have.
And the other thing, too, for that,
there we go.
For that hockey team, if these players are struggling financially, then goddamn it, get out there and fundraise. When I was at Victoria Racquet Club, we would get Krispy Kreme donuts, which became a big thing in that era, from Vancouver over, and we'd be at the malls selling them. We did, we went pop cans, bottles, drives. We did all kinds of shit. And we did it so that we had money for those players. So you know what that team needs to do is get off their ass, raise some money for these kids if they're in financial problems, and help their teammates as much as they can. But the parents have to be honest and tell the organization if they're struggling. And if they're not and they're just holding out, shame on them.
Forget if you need $13,000. I'll tell you, you want to make $25,000 for your team, just slip by the Courtnell household and pick up the empties.
It's not that bad.
Rusty, before we go, someone brings up Brian Fogarty. I remember that name, played for the Nordiques. I didn't know this about him, so I went Wikipedia. This guy was an unbelievable hockey player. Unbelievable. He battled drugs and booze his whole life and ended up dying too young. I don't know if it was from that. I thought it was from some sort of oversized heart or something that got him in the end. Stevie just gave me some info. He got in 60 games, he got 150 plus points as a defenseman.
Yeah, he was a stud. He came into the league touted as the next Paul Coffey, and he played well, but he just never lived up, and then started bouncing around and ended up, I think, in Europe. But I think he was a big off ice. He had bigger issues, you know, partying and stuff. So I think it ended up taking him down.
He's from Brantford. How would you like to be the second greatest hockey player to come from Brantford?
Yeah. It's a lot of pressure. You know, obviously he lived up to it in the Ontario Hockey League. And then you get to the NHL, you're playing against men. It's different. There's, you know, now you're making your own money. And it takes a while. And it doesn't suit everybody. You have to be well-grounded and have good people around you, or otherwise things can go sideways pretty quickly.
Rusty, let's get out of here. Can you dance? People want to know if you can dance. What's your favorite music?
After six beers, I think I can.
Oh, you do? You get up there? You get the overbite?
I used to love dancing. When I was in Montreal, we used to go to this bar called Da Vinci's, and they played house music. It was freaking awesome, and everybody kind of – it was like it was a small nightclub that was looked like somebody's bachelor apartment. It was very cool. No, it was really freaking cool.
Right. Sure.
And a lot of dancing going on there, but I'm not much of a dancer.
Strong dancer.
I'm not much of a dancer anymore, but I'm sure I'm going to have to dance at my daughter's wedding coming up this summer.
Uh-oh. You're going to have to do the father-daughter first dance thing.
I think so. Unless they don't do it. I don't know. I haven't been to a wedding in a long time.
But I'd love to see up there cutting the rug.
You will not be invited.
Let's get out of here. Congratulations, by the way, on your future son-in-law winning this weekend. They're right in the hunt, man, the Vikings. Rusty, time to go. What are you going to do for the rest of the week? Okay. And don't tell me about the hot temperatures.
No, it's going to cool down. It was in the 90s over the weekend. It's going to cool down in the 70s.
Shut his mic off, Steve.
Going to golf. Click. And my daughter won her first game of playoffs.
Yep.
So they have 64 teams for the NCAA soccer. They started off last weekend, 64 teams for NCAA women's soccer.
Wow.
And now they're down to 32. So she plays Penn State next weekend. It's, you know, single game knockout. So cheer on USC, everybody out there.
We will. And as importantly, cheer on Team Canada in the CONCACAF. Rusty, I just learned this today. So they're in like the third place, the top three teams advance to the World Cup.
Let's go.
Let's go, Canada. Okay.
LFG.
Let's get out of here, Russ. Okay. At least you were awfully cranky at the start of the show, but you finished very strong.
There's a cigar in my future, and it's a little early yet.
There's a cigar in my future. Good night, everybody. We'll see you later. Take it easy, Rusty. We'll talk to everyone next week. You've been listening to The Suspendables with me, Jungle Jim Jerome, and the one and only Russ Cortinel. We'll talk to everybody.
Throw it our email address.
Our email address, The Suspendables at, as I'm rifling through to find, they're at yahoo.com. The Suspendables at yahoo.com. Check out the website, suspendables.com, for all the shows. By the way, we get a lot of people. Rick Tockett, we brought him up today. Fantastic interview. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah,
one of the easiest guys in the world to interview. And we'll have more of those guests down the road. I put a call out to Mess. He said he's going to come on the show. Glennie Anderson, who I see, you know, is in the Hall of Fame. A call out to him, and all of them want to come on the show. We're just trying to set it up. You know,
Jimmy, one question.
It's like herding cats, Rusty. You have a question for me, Russ? Absolutely. Go ahead, caller. You're on the line.
So when you spent 3 years in a row in grade 7, did they have to bring in a new desk each year because you kept growing?
Jesus Christ. That's hurtful. When you played 17 years, Russ, in
16,
the NHL.
16, quick line.
16 years in the NHL. Did they have to only show you a picture of the Stanley Cup? Or did you? Talk to you later, everybody. Have a good week, Rusty. Great job.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for being with us. Please be sure to subscribe to The Suspendables today and share the show with your friends and followers. And find out everything you need to know about the show on our brand new website, thesuspendables.com.